Jesus, we just thank you and praise you for how good you are and how faithful you are. We thank you for all the promises that your word gives us, all the promises that you've provided for us. We thank you that you love us so much, that you gave everything so that we could have and be what you've called us to be. For it's our desire, as we just prepared this morning to hear your word, and as we prepare to take that word that we hear into our lives, it's our desire to be your ambassadors, to represent you every moment of our lives. We thank you for your promises, for they're great and they're wonderful, and we receive them all. But the ultimate truth is that we're supposed to use that strength and to use all those promises to advance your kingdom. So we thank you and praise you that you be glorified through each one of our lives, for we give ourselves, we are open to you this morning to receive your word and what you have for us. You be glorified in each one of us. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. You guys can be seated this morning. For those of you that haven't been here with us before, you notice we don't have a praise and worship leader. That's kind of been by design. I don't know how I'm going to do that from, it's been 3 years, just 3 years and 1 week that we've had City on a Hill here. And in from the very start, what God laid on my heart to do was we have people that are here that can provide music for us. But I just really feel it's imperative, and this is not a criticism of anybody else. This is just me being obedient with what the Holy Spirit said to me. And I just feel it's imperative for us just to have that time to learn to be our own praise and worship leaders, that we don't have to have somebody else that's leading us. And there's a time and a place for that. But I want us to learn ourselves to praise and worship, to be our own leaders, to let the Holy Spirit lead us and direct us. Because I want that time of praise and worship to be special, to be personal for each one of us with the Holy Spirit and with Jesus Christ. So that's why we do it the way we do. Everybody good this morning? All right, well, for those of you that are new, this is part two of a series that really is tied to another series that began with that. So I'll give you a quick little update of where we're at. What we've been looking at the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at the storms that are in this life. And every one of us faces storms. In this life, there's always storms that you're going to face. So we've been looking at those storms of life. And we were looking a couple weeks ago, we looked at Psalm 29. And there in Psalm 29, David attributed the power of this great storm that he had witnessed. He attributed the power of that storm to God. And if you read in the Amplified Bible, it says, that was a storm that was like unto the flood. So this is a powerful storm. And David concluded Psalm 29 by telling us that that power, that same power, is available to God's people. Foreshadowing the fact that there are storms in this life, but the power that we have is greater than the storms that we go through. And then we saw Paul, as Paul showed us through the Word of God, that we have superhuman power at work through us by the Word of God. As we trust in, as we rely upon, as we speak His Word in faith, we have that superhuman power available through us. We don't just hunker down against the storms of life. We don't just hunker down and hope to be able to withstand the storms. No, we stand and we enforce His word by rebuking the storms of this life that come against us. And then last week we had just begun to look at the example of Jesus, as Jesus was calming the storms that were on the seas that threatened His disciples. And we had seen that Jesus had spent that entire day teaching the disciples and teaching all those who were there. He was teaching them in parables, and He was teaching them in parables about the power of the Word. Jesus was teaching them the power of the Word of God. It's important for us to stand on and to speak that Word. See, the problem the disciples had, the disciples didn't apply the Word that they had learned that day. Disciples failed to apply it. We need to make sure that in all things we apply the Word of God that we have. When you get a truth from the Word of God, when you get a revelation from the Word, you will also get very quickly an opportunity to apply that Word into your life. We have to take advantage of those opportunities. If we don't, you must apply the Word of God. You must apply the Word of God in order for that Word to become victorious and to become an ongoing victorious part of your daily Christian walk. If you don't apply the Word of God that you get, if you don't apply the Word of God that you learn, if you don't apply that Word, then that Word remains merely a concept to you and not a reality. As a concept, the Word's not a tool that you can use. It's not a weapon for your warfare against the storms of this life. For us to take the Word of God from being merely a concept and becoming a reality in our lives, we have to apply the Word that we have. So let's pick up where we left off last week. We were looking at that story of Jesus calming the sea. So we were reading that in Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. Mark 4, 35 through 41. And on that same day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, and it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him, and they said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And then he arose and rebuked the wind. And he said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly, and they said to one another, "Who is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Now we looked at verses 35 and 36 last week. We'll touch on verse 36 here again just a little bit in a moment. But let's pick this up in verse number 37. And I'm going to read verse 37 again, but this time I'm going to read it to you from the Amplified Bible. So Mark 4, verse 37. "And a furious storm of wind of hurricane proportions arose, and the waves kept beating into the boat so that it was already becoming filled." Don't be surprised when life brings with it storms and trials. And don't be surprised when some of those storms are of hurricane proportions. Don't be surprised by those kind of storms that come into our life. This is what we have to expect. You know what? Bad things happen in this life because we live in a fallen world. But what Jesus is showing us here is you will neither be swamped nor will you sink, because Jesus has shown us the power of his word over those storms, over the storms of life. Look, when storms come into your life, which surely they will, if not already, this is what happens in this fallen world. When storms come into your life, don't get angry at God, which is our natural reaction. Because the relevant question is not, "Why did this storm happen to me?" The relevant question is, "What will my response be to the storm that arises?" Because our tendency is to just brace ourselves against the storm and hope to withstand it. No, we're supposed to stand against those storms. We're supposed to speak the word in faith over those storms. We're supposed to be walking in that victory, the victory that he provided for us. We're supposed to be applying the word in faith. Now, if you think about those verses that we just saw, you'll notice that it says that other little boats were out on the sea with Jesus. That's what it says in verse number 36. Why does the Bible mention this? I firmly believe, I am convinced that every word that is in the Bible is there for a purpose. So why does the Bible mention that these other little boats were out there with Jesus? Why is that important to us? Because Jesus had that entire day been teaching the word. Jesus had been giving life. And now those who were hungry for more of the word were following Jesus in their little boats. And they followed Jesus right into a storm. When you hunger for more of the word, when you follow Jesus, that doesn't mean you're going to avoid all the chaos and all the storms of life. Look, even these followers, they were assailed by the same storm that Jesus was in, primarily because they were following after Jesus. follow Jesus, and there's going to be storms in life. But the question is, what do we do in response to those storms? What do we do when those storms arise? What do we do since we know the power of the Word of God? And since we know that Jesus has shown us the power of that Word to stand against those storms that rise up in our lives. Let's get into the minds of the disciples for just a moment as they're facing these storms. Because the disciples, they see this, their boat starting to fill. It's becoming immersed with water. What do the disciples envision the next thing that's going to happen? They see the boat sinking and they see themselves drowning. The disciples have already drawn the conclusion of imminent death, and they've yielded themselves totally to that image. They should have seen the circumstances. And remembering what they had been taught that day, they should have spoken the word that they had been given that day. They should have spoken the word against that storm. That's what they should have done. So what do we do? When the storms break in our lives, what do we do? When the storms break in our lives, what do we see ahead? Because I'm just telling you, I've been doing ministry for 33 years. I'm telling you, most Christians still do the calculations in their natural mind. And they conclude one certainty when they make those calculations in their natural mind. The one certainty that they conclude when they see the storms, the one certainty they see is defeat. If you only calculate the outcome of the storms of your life using your natural mind, you've already determined the outcome. You've already established the outcome. Instead, when the storms of life come, listen to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Speak His word. Speak His word in faith. And receive that supernatural victory, that supernatural deliverance that's yours. And that doesn't mean that it always happens instantaneously. As soon as you speak the word of God in faith, it is done because it's already done in the natural realm. What you do when you speak the word of God in faith, you bring it from the natural reality, from the spiritual realm, into the natural realm. Now, there's sometimes a time delay, but it's already done. You're just waiting for it to be done. As soon as you pray and as soon as you speak the word over your situation, you can start praising God. Because you may not see it yet, but it's already done. This is what He gives. This is what He's done. This is what He provides for us. All right, so let's look at verse number 38. Mark chapter 4, verse number 38. Don't raise your hands, but is anybody going through a storm today? I mean, it doesn't matter how long you are a believer in Jesus Christ. There are storms that are going to come up in our lives. And after you ride out one storm, after you get victory out of one storm, you know, eventually another one's going to come. But I'll tell you what, the more that we learn to stand against those storms by speaking His word in faith over the storm and saying, "Peace, be still," and we see those storms quiet and we see the victories that we have in Jesus Christ, the next time a storm comes, guess what? It's a whole lot easier for us at that point to stand and believe the word of God when those storms come. Verse number 38 says, "But He was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke Him, and they said to Him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?'" So Jesus is asleep in the boat. Jesus is God. He was God. He is God. But Jesus is in the flesh. He's in the same flesh that you and I are in. So Jesus has been teaching all day. Again, if you go with us to Israel, and one of the places that stands out in my mind is I remember standing there looking right on the beach of Capernaum. And you can see the Sea of Galilee. And you can see those waves coming up. And there's a whole lot of space that's there. You can see where multitudes would be gathering. And you can picture that a boat would be there and Jesus standing in the boat. But let me tell you, even in January, there's sun and the day gets warm. So if you can picture Jesus standing on that boat, Jesus is God. But Jesus was in this flesh. He had been teaching all day in that sun. Jesus' body needed to be refreshed. Understand this point. The flesh has limits. But those limits were superseded in Jesus by the power of the Word. Think about that. The flesh, this flesh has limits. But those limits were superseded in Jesus by the power of the Word. That principle is true for you as well. Jesus spoke the Word. He said, we're going to the other side. Jesus wasn't worried about whether the Word that He spoke would work. Jesus could sleep all the way through the storm, knowing that the Word that He had spoken would work. That same principle, again, that same principle is true for you and I. He's given us the power of His Word. We can speak to the storms of our life and we can say, be quiet, be still, hush. And those will calm. This is what Jesus is showing us. There's storms in this life. But we have power in the name of Jesus to calm those storms. If you remember last week, we were looking at all of the different parables that Jesus had been teaching on that same day. And one of the parables that we looked at last week, one of the parables that Jesus taught that same day that He calmed the storm, was the parable of the seed that grows. And in that parable, the planter plants the seed. And even though the planter sleeps, the seed continues to grow, even though the planter does not know how. Jesus has taught us the power of the Word. Amen? Jesus has taught us the power of the Word. He's given us and told us that power. This is the power that we have within us. You don't have to know how the Word works when you speak it. Think about that. You don't have to know how the Word works when you speak it. You just have to speak the Word. And then even in this flesh, we can become just like Jesus was in this flesh, and we can speak the Word, we can let the Word work, and we can rest in the certainty of that Word, just like Jesus did. You know, in those verses, it also tells us that Jesus was asleep in the stern of the boat. Again, to me, everything the Bible tells us has significance. He was asleep in the stern. Where's the stern of a boat? No sailors here? It's in the back. And in the back, that is where the boat gets its direction from. Even today, boats get their direction from the stern. The steersman, did I say that wrong? Okay. The steersman steers from the stern. So Jesus, even when Jesus is sleeping, think about this, even when Jesus is asleep, He never left His post steering the ship, steering the boat. Remember last week, one of the things that we were challenged by was this concept. Get into the boat with the Word, because the Word is already there with power. Get into the boat with the Word. Speak the Word of God, and Jesus, who is the Word, will steer the boat of your life, will steer your boat through all the storms that come before you. Jesus is always in the stern. You speak the Word, and that is Jesus steering your boat through all the storms of life and bringing those storms to peace. We can have the assurance of Jesus always there. It doesn't matter how things feel. You know, when you're in storms, it doesn't feel like there's any control at all, right? It feels like we're just kind of going through, waiting for it to pass. That's not true. We have control. We have the authority of Jesus' name. And if we trust in Him, He steers our boat as you're going through it until you see the power of the Word that you speak come into pass, and that storm being quieted, that storm dispelling. He's still guiding. He's still directing your boat. Also in those verses, we see that the disciples accuse Jesus of not caring. Now, of course, that's ridiculous. But that does speak to us about someone's, who are trusting not in the Word of God, but they're trusting in the flesh. That is a sign to accuse Jesus of not caring like that, to make an accusation of Jesus. That's a sign that those disciples were thinking carnally. They weren't thinking spiritually. They were thinking with their carnal minds. We have the authority in Jesus Christ. Don't make the same mistake that the disciples made. Otherwise, we become just like the disciples. And the disciples, they didn't experience peace. They didn't experience rest. And they had a hard time finding how to trust in Jesus at that time. During the storm, the disciples accused Jesus. During the storms of our life, we get angry at God. Sound familiar? When you get angry or frustrated at God because of the storms of life, that's a sign that we're not using the Word. He's given you the Word. Speak the Word. Speak the Word over those storms. Otherwise, again, we're just like the disciples. We're responding to the storm instead of doing what we're supposed to be doing, which is speaking in authority over the storm. Amen? This is a good word. Look, this got me real excited. I was really looking forward to sharing this. All right. Let's look at verse number 39. Verse 39 says, "Then he arose and rebuked the wind, and he said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was great calm." Notice that Jesus stood. It says he arose. Some versions make it clear he stood. Jesus stood in the boat to rebuke the storms. That's not an easy thing to do. Have you ever tried to stand in an open boat, a small open boat? It's not an easy thing to do. Why did Jesus stand in the open boat? Why did he stand to rebuke the storms? Would the rebuke not have worked had he remained seated? Of course it would. It's his word. All of creation would obey. So why does the Bible make it such a point? Why does the Bible make it clear? And all the different accounts of this make sure that it says that he stood or that he arose. Why does it make such a clear statement that Jesus stood in the boat? Because remember, this whole account is a narrative that's teaching us about the power of the spoken word. This is Jesus standing in the boat. This is Jesus teaching us by demonstration. Standing is a position of authority. And you and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, we are made to stand. So it doesn't matter what comes, we don't hunker down, we don't shy away, we stand because we have the authority in Jesus. Jesus stood in that boat. Remember, our tendency when storms and troubles come in this life, our tendency is to brace ourselves, to hunker down, to just kind of hope we can survive the onslaught. No, we are supposed to stand. We're supposed to speak the word that he gave us, the word that we learn. We're supposed to speak his word. And we speak his word over those storms. And his authority backs up the word that you speak. His authority that's invested in you. Now that brings to mind this verse. This is Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 13. A familiar verse for us. Ephesians 6, 13. It says, "Therefore, put on God's complete armor, that you may be able to resist and stand your ground on the evil day of danger. And having done all that crisis demands, to stand firmly in your place." I don't care how great that storm is. And this is talking about a storm that was of hurricane proportions. Whatever storms come in your life, you stand. And you stand your ground. That means I have to know what the word is. I have to know what the promises are. And when I know those promises, this word shows me that he has given me the power of his word to stand against those storms. And having done everything else, I continue to stand. So I speak against the storms. And if I don't see the storm quiet right away, do I give up? No, I know that it's done, and I continue to stand and stand resolute. And as long as we stand, that storm, we will see the evidence of what's already done. We'll see what's done in the spiritual realm manifested here in the natural realm. We will see those storms. I told you last week about a story when there was a storm and I stood against just a physical storm. I've done that numerous times. You know, anytime that there's any kind of a storm that comes up or the weather says there's a storm, Donna says, hey, pray over our property. And I always pray because I realize that that property and the house that we have, that's not ours. We're just stewards of it. It belongs to Him. And so I say, this is yours. We're just stewards over it. So in the authority of your name, I speak safety and protection over that property because it's yours and no harm will come to it. Now, I think I've told you this before. There's two times that this happened to us. Because every time that Don and I leave on vacation, our first leg of the journey on our vacation is about 10 yards. Because we get out of the driveway and we pull to the end of the driveway and we stop right there. And then I pray and I speak safety over us as I drive. And I speak safety and protection over the house and the property when we're not there. I speak over Donna's job and her responsibilities while she's not there. I speak over this place and I speak over you because I'm not here. And I trust that Jesus is going to take care of all those things. There was one time we came home after a week's vacation. And, you know, you're opening the windows back up and stuff. And we have these in our back of our house. We have these two huge sliding glass doors. And they have beautiful wood framework. And I'm looking at one of the wood framework from the inside. And there's a gouge in it. And I'm thinking, how do we get a gouge in the wood framework? So I open the sliding glass door and I look outside and somebody obviously has stuck a crowbar in there and was trying to pop that door open. And let me tell you, they were about 3 seconds away from opening. There's nothing to stop that door from opening. I mean, they were in. The crowbar was actually already inside our house. It's not that strong of a door. Seconds away from popping that door and entering into our house to do whatever they want when we're not there. I don't know what happened. But 3 seconds away from popping that door open, they stopped. I don't know what Jesus did, but thank you, Jesus, that He did something to scare them off. There was another time we came back from vacation, and we pull into our garage. You have the big garage door when the car comes down. Then right next to it is a little side door you can come and go. And after we came back from vacation, I walked out the door, and I'm walking back in, and the door handle on that door is just a little round door handle. It was no longer round. Somebody had gotten some. I mean, Dennis will tell you, I don't know a whole lot about tools, but somebody had something, and you could see that they had done something to squeeze that to try to pull that off, because you could see the rib marks on the upper part and the lower part of that round door handle, which had now been flattened with all these ribs. And again, it's not that strong of a door. In fact, there's a big window right above it. They could have stuck their elbow through the window, and they would have been in seconds. But again, I don't know what happened, but it doesn't matter. But I know this, Jesus took care of our house. This is the power of the word that we have. So when storms come up, you have the power. Speak the word of God that you know over your situations and speak that those storms become still and quiet. This is what Jesus expects for us to do. All right, so we just looked at Ephesians 6:13. With that in mind, I'm going to go back just one chapter before just to show you these two verses. In Mark chapter 3, verses 24 and 25. I'm reading this from the Amplified Bible. Very familiar verse. But I want you to see how it ties into the whole principle of what we're talking about. In Mark 3, 24 and 25, it says, "And if a kingdom is divided and rebelling against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided, split into factions and rebelling against itself, that house will not be able to last. A house divided against itself cannot stand. If this house, this temple is divided." So if, in other words, I'm choosing to believe or trust in the flesh, which is opposed to the spirit that is in me, then this house is not going to be able to stand against the storm. To stand, we have to be unified in the word. We have to be unified, spirit, soul, and body. Body being the flesh. The flesh will yield. Make the flesh yield. The things of the flesh will submit. The things of the flesh will submit to the decision of the mind, to the decision of the soul, to believe the word of God, the word which is already in you, in your spirit, alive in your spirit with power. Make the flesh, make the things of this world yield. They will submit to the decision of your mind, of your soul. This is what it means to stand in the stern against the storms. If we are fractionalized within ourselves and we choose to believe the world instead of the things of the Word, we're not going to be able to stand. And He's called us to stand. Now, I want to look at that same verse. No, I'm sorry. We're going to go back. We're going to look at Mark, the last verse we looked at in the story about Jesus calling the sea is Mark chapter 4, verse number 39. I want to look at Mark 4, 39, but from the Amplified Bible this time. In the Amplified Bible, that verse says, "And He arose and rebuked the wind. And He said to the sea, 'Hush now, be still, muzzled.' And the wind ceased." Listen to this part. "Sank to rest, as if exhausted by its own beating. And there was immediately a great calm, a perfect peacefulness. The word rebuked that you see here, the word rebuked in the Greek means to command something. It means to restrain something. But it also means to censure. Anybody know what censure means? That's a great word. According to Merriam-Webster's dictionary, censure means it is a judgment made with condemnation. Censure is a judgment with condemnation. Think about the storms in your life, whatever they might be. When you rebuke the storms of your life, you're making a judgment. You're making the judgment that something is improper, that something is not lining up with the Word of God. And then by your command, by your censure, you are censuring those things, making them powerless over you, making them obey the Word of God, silencing the storm. Censure. This is the power that we have in the Word of God. In the word that we have, because when you speak the word, as we saw weeks ago, when you speak the word, it is backed by the thunderous voice of the Holy Spirit in the spiritual realms. This is the power of the word that we speak. All right, so I want to look at that same verse again, Mark chapter 4, verse number 39. But this time, I want you to see it in the expanded Bible. So this is the way it looks in the expanded Bible. Jesus stood up and commanded, reprimanded, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, the sea, "Quiet, peace, be still." Then the wind stopped, and it became completely calm. This parallels God's subduing of the waters, representing chaos in the Old Testament. If you guys were here a few weeks ago, this is exactly, when I saw this verse in the expanded Bible, I thought, that is so cool. We just talked about that 2 weeks ago. This is exactly what we saw from Psalm 29. The waters represent the chaos. Look, you have the authority to command the storms, the chaos of your life. You have the authority to command that chaos to be quiet, to be still, by your word, by speaking His word, your word speaking His word in faith. So what does that look like? I'm going to go back. Caleb, you can go back. I want to look, put back up here again, Mark 4:39, but not the expanded. Go back one more to the Amplified Bible. I want you to see Mark 4:39 from the Amplified Bible. See that up here, because I'm going to give you a description of that. I'm going to make it more personal. I'm going to make this with Donna. So I want you to see, this is what that looks like. No, this is good. So Donna stands in the authority of Jesus' name. Jesus, who is in the stern of her boat, directing her boat through the storms of life. And Donna commands the storms of this life to be still. She commands the sickness. She commands finances. She commands depression. Everything that is opposed to the Word of God, Donna says, be muzzled. Be still in Jesus. Hush. And then the wind, the attack, and the attacker, Satan himself, sank exhausted by his failed efforts to assail Donna, who stood in the authority and the power of the word against that storm. And then a great calm and a peace settled. Picture when you stand on the word of God and you speak the word of God, Satan himself sinks, exhausted by his failed efforts to assail you. That's the picture that we have when we stand on and speak. This is what Jesus is showing us. When he spoke to those storms, to be calm, to be quiet, he spoke peace to those storms. So let's look at verse number 40. In verse 40 it says, "But he," Jesus, "said to them, 'Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?'" Look, all of us face storms in our lives. Again, we live in a fallen world. This is the way it's going to happen. Storms are going to come. But why is it that we're so often overwhelmed by the storms as opposed to walking in victory in those storms? Well, to a large measure, the answer to that is found right here in verse number 40. When Jesus asks this question of the disciples, he says, "Why are you so timid? Why are you fearful?" Jesus expects us to operate in the authority of his word. This is the question that we should be asking ourselves every day. The same question Jesus asked. We should be saying, "Why am I not speaking against the storms? Why am I just sitting here taking the attack? I need to speak against the storm. Why am I timid? Why am I hesitant? Why am I fearful? If I speak the word of God over my storms, Satan is going to sink exhausted from his failed efforts. Why am I not doing that?" Every time a storm comes, this is what I should be thinking of. Jesus has given us the power of his word, and he expects us to use that power to speak against the storms of life, for us to speak against the storms of life. It's what Jesus expects us to do. He doesn't expect us to just sit back and wait for him to do something. That's kind of the way our mindset is in the body of Christ. He gave us the word. He expects us to speak the word over the storms. He doesn't expect us to sit back and wait for him to do something because he's already done something. You see, if we sit back and wait for Jesus to do something, that's not faith. That's saying, "I'm not convinced that Jesus has already done the work." Jesus said, "It is finished." And then he was seated at the right hand of the Father, signifying the work is done. It is finished. He expects us to use the word, the power of the word that he gave us, to speak against those storms. That's what he expects us to do. 2 weeks ago, we were looking at that story from creation, and we saw that the Lord creatively spoke chaos into order and into peace. That is the same power of the Holy Spirit. Remember, we saw that same word that was talking about the Lord being over at creation, being over the seas, like a wind over the seas. We saw that same word for wind is the same word for the Spirit of God. So as we see the Lord, the example of the Lord from creation, the Lord speaking chaos into order, that is the power of the Holy Spirit that is in you. That's the power of the Holy Spirit that you give voice to. That you give voice to when you speak his word in faith, turning your storms in life from chaos and disorder, turning the storms of your life into order, into victory, and into deliverance in Jesus' name. Jesus gave us the word. He expects us to speak the word, the power of the word, over the storms of our life. Amen? Jesus, I know that every single person here, if they're not going through a storm, they've had a storm and there's a storm somewhere coming. But when those storms, when we see those winds start to rise up, when we see the signs that the storm is coming, when the doctor tells us something, or when our checkbook tells us something, or when we just get depressed or overwhelmed, when things in this life speak to us, things that are opposed to your word, when those storms begin to assail us, and it feels like, just like the disciples, we think, We're about to be immersed. We're about to sink and drown. When those things come, Holy Spirit, remind us of your word. Remind us that you spoke to the storm and that you gave us the power of your word to speak to the storms of our life. And so I thank you that we're reminded of that. And I speak over every single person that's here. Any storms that are here, in the authority of your name, Jesus, we speak that those storms be quiet, hush, be still. In the authority of Jesus' name, that there is deliverance, and we give you the praise and the glory for it. In your name, Jesus, amen. Amen. Let's stand up and praise and worship as we close this morning.